16 on the way now. You guys have a prophetic company here, church here, and then, you know, I'm prophetic too, so we'll see if there's something that pops out today that is for 2017. Just get the engine primed, huh? Getting out of 2016. 2016 was a good year. Did you guys enjoy 2016? There's a lot of stuff that you had to plow through and birth and close off. I think 2017 is a new year, a new beginning. One thing the Lord, let me just share a couple things that I got out there. This is something the Lord spoke to me about 2017. 3 John 2, as your soul prospers, your health and finances will prosper. And I really believe that this year it's really important for the health of the body. Sometimes, you know, I grew up in church. I pastored up the road a little ways in Willits, and I was there for 20 years. We always believe in giving and tithing, and I wasn't getting a breakthrough financing. The Lord said, you need to be generous. I said, yeah, well, I give away everything, and I'm, you know, generous. He says, you need to be generous to yourself. And started taking me on a journey. As your soul prospers, your health and finances will prosper. And I was, I remember one Christmas I was kind of complaining to the Lord that I didn't have much to give to my kids and everything financial. And he's like, well, I gave you this, this, and that, and you gave it away. And sometimes we don't understand what is for us and what is for others, and where the natural outflow flows out of us being healthy and full, and out of the abundance we give out to others. And so it's going to take me on a journey of learning to value myself. And I was feeling really bad about the fact that I didn't have much for Christmas and to give away. And then, you know, God is so good. Even when he convicts us, he's such a good daddy. I got my first inheritance that week. I never would have expected that. There was an old lady, 88 years old, that considered me her spiritual Timothy. And she had preached for over 50 years, and she left me a widow's mite of $500. And that was such a blessing, you know, and it's like I got some presents for my kids. And I just thought, you know what, I want to get myself a cheap leather jacket. I mean, it was $100 back then. That was a big deal for me. And so I got myself a leather jacket, and when I put it on and I was just ministering one day, he says, you're wearing the mantle now of the, you know, you got yourself the mantle. And so the Lord's kind of funny how he does those kind of things. And so be generous to yourself this year. You know, have permission granted to be generous to yourself. Sometimes people are like, well, I can't afford to do this or that, or, you know, take a little time off, or, you know, have, you know, get this for myself. And we're so good at blessing others, but it's like, you can't afford not to, you know, because there's something when you begin to get filled up and blessed, you know, it just begins to bubble out. And so I'm going to give this to Phil. Phil, this is your year of soul prospering. And, you know, I got a word, actually. The Lord was talking to me about you this morning. He gave me a verse, Matthew 10:3. I looked it up. And, you know, Matthew 10:3 is talking about one of the different apostles that Jesus commissioned, and one of them was Philip. So I said, God has a word for Phil. And so I was just asking him, you know, about you. And then the next moment I saw you there, and it's like, hey. And it's like, you know what I really felt about Philip that is for you is that, you know, you check out in the Bible about Philip, and there's a variety of anointings that Philip's carried. There was Philip the evangelist. There was Philip the apostle. You know, Philip was the one that people came to, and he said, well, come and see about Jesus. He was like a bridge. And I feel like there's this grace on you to be a bridge, to connect people. And there's a grace on you to step into different anointings. You're not locked into one thing. There's a grace on you. I really feel like this is the year. This is your year. This is a special year for you to come really forth. And it's like God's been preparing you. You know, also Philip has something to do with horses, being fond of horses. And I really feel like that there is this thing on you. There's this passion. I was watching you up here just, you know, facilitating this morning. I was seeing this power, just this passion, this fire inside of you. And that, You know, you have this love of the power of God. You have this love of the presence of God. You know, and that's the apostolic and that's the evangelist and all that. And I feel like there's that apostolic and there's that evangelistic. You can fit into whatever is needed, but you're there to introduce people to heaven, introduce people to Jesus. And I feel like this is really a year for you. You're going to start seeing, you know, a shift. And I feel like God is highlighting both of you guys in this season. He's moving you forward in a stronger sense of leadership and a stronger sense of the prophetic coming forth and just, you know, enjoying yourself. And I really feel like coming out of it's almost like coming out of a plowing season and coming out of a really, you know, being faithful to build foundations, and you're going to start seeing fruit because you've been faithful. And so I just bless you guys. And, you know, you're part of a great team here. You guys have a great team, and there is, you know, I was enjoying the prayer time back there earlier today because there was just a love and there's an honor flowing back and forth to each other. And I really feel like God's going to honor that. God's going to honor this church. So that's a little something for you, Philip. So, you know, just a little something on some stuff that I've been doing the last couple of years. I'm part of my commission is to raise up prophets, and so I'm starting to put out some whatever you call it, resources for prophets. I've got some workbooks back there. This one is actually Discovering Your Identity. You know, I have a real passion to see the companies of prophets and communities of prophets raised back up in the earth. You know, there's we love the prophets that come in from a distance, but we're not real good at seeing that there are prophets among us. You know, and throughout history, throughout the Bible times, it was 50 here, 50 there. You know, Agabus had a company of prophets that he was with when he came to Jerusalem and prophesied. And there's this thing that God's restoring. And so I really believe in, you know, prophets. And I have a school over at the Mission in Vacaville that we have people that come from Santa Rosa. We got Rainey here. She's been coming 2 years. She's an awesome prophetic voice from South Africa. And maybe a few of you need a prophetic word after the end of the service, I'll have her come up and be a part of your ministry team. And she'll give you a great, powerful, fiery word that'll just ignite you and put you into a new spot. And so I've got some, this is, you know, a whole workbook on discovering what kind of a prophet you are, discovering your identity as a prophet. The Lord took me through the 80, he said, I want you to do just go through a study of all the prophets in the Bible. And there's 80 named prophets, about 80 named prophets. And then there's hundreds of prophets in the Bible and companies and such. And he's like, I want you to be able to recognize the different types of prophets that are out there. And, you know, of course, you know, some of the Old Testament prophets, we can't carry the kind of message in the way they brought it through the New Covenant, but we can understand their character, their type. So a lot of people say, well, I'm not a prophet. There's no prophets around here. And I'm like, yeah, why would you say that you're not? Why would you disqualify yourself? And even some, I've been around some folks that have a well-known ministries, and I'll ask them, do you have a fivefold calling? And they'll be like, no, I don't think I do. And I said, you're a prophet. I said, no, I'm not a prophet because I'm not like so-and-so and so-and-so. I said, exactly. You're comparing yourself to a message prophet or a fiery prophet, but you're a signs and a wonders prophet. You're an ecstatic prophet. There's all sorts of different kinds of prophets. But sometimes we disqualify ourselves. Nathan was a prophet to one influencer in the Old Testament. That was his mandate, King David. He was a prophet to one. You know, and sometimes we think, well, I'm not a prophet unless I've got this big metron or that metron. You know, there's prophets. Just as much as we believe, do you believe that there's genuine pastors that can pastor a church of 50? Just as much as a pastor can pastor a church of 5,000, you believe that that's still a pastoral gift? That's the same thing, but sometimes we have a hard time receiving. There could be a prophet amongst us. They might have an influence of 50 people or a city, just as much as we might have prophets of nations. And so I'm really going after seeing that restored. So I want to give this, you know, Ken, Christine, I want to give this to you guys because I really do believe there's a prophetic calling on you guys and on this house. And so bless you guys. Shundai. And I can't remember, but this is if I shared this before, but this is my wife's lovely book. This is my wife, Heather, here. She's with me. Woohoo! Just fun being together. We've been married, what, 19 years now? Just getting started. My grandparents have been married like 68 years or something like that. I'm like, well, we're good, close to 20 in there. That's pretty good. But I enjoy being around her. She put this awesome book out. It's a great book that brings kids into encounters. What the Lord? Shundai Breakthrough. So it's got all these wonderful designs and coloring and everything that she put together. So that's back there. Get that for your kids. They have these books. They have them in public schools and You know, it's impacting folks because it's written in a non-Christian way, but it has Christian heart behind it and just bringing people into encounters. And then I have a book that I put out last year, but I really feel like this is something I want to just talk about for a couple minutes today. And it's called Restoring the Father's Heart. It's a practical guide to raising up kingdom sons and daughters. And, you know, there's been the last 20 years, the Lord's poured out the Father's love and a fresh awakening to the love of the Father. And this is an actual practical guide to helping you determine who has been fathering you. Have you been learning how to get the nuggets from spiritual fathers and mothers all around you? And then, you know, you can't be a father and mother until you've learned to be a son and a daughter. So it kind of helps you go on a journey, asks a lot of questions on what you've done internally, and then it begins to help you go through this journey of releasing that around you. Because I just want to talk for a couple minutes today. If I could just chat, I don't feel like this big burning fire prophet here today. I feel more like just wanting to release a little heart from dad and from family for this new year. Sometimes, you know, I grew up in church. I'm a third generation pastor. I just turned 42. I've been in church my whole life, you know, and going after God, you know, fervent praying, fasting, you know, preaching, evangelism, street evangelism, prophetic acts. I've gone after all of that, and I love that. We were just in San Francisco yesterday, had a great time doing another prophetic act there, just getting God's heart for San Francisco. You know, God won't give us any place we don't have a heart for. He won't give us a place that you don't carry his heart for. And, you know, places like San Francisco obviously has gotten a lot of flack from the church worldwide, you know, and there's different places. California has, you know, how many prophecies have come out about California dropping off because God's upset about it? And, you know, but there's a massive harvest God wants to bring out of California. And it's not the truth, you know, God so loved the world. Why would he love the world and the next moment want to destroy the world? You know, he sent his son to die. So I think we've got to get this shift. And even when we were in San Francisco, I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of having to prophesy the opposite of what the world has been prophesying and what the church has been prophesying over San Francisco. I am no longer going to see San Francisco in reaction to what the enemy's trying to put on them as a wrong label. I am going to begin to see San Francisco genuinely like a baby coming out, and I get to decide what this baby's identity is. It's like instead of, well, people have said, well, they're this and they're perverse and they're this and God's upset. Oh, that's it. I'm wiping that clean. I'm not going to even prophesy the opposite of that. I'm going to prophesy a completely new slate and clean what I see, because I'm not going to let the enemy determine how I'm going to prophesy over a city. And it's like God will not give us a place until we carry his heart, until they're in our heart and like our kids. You know, I remember I was in Korea and I was praying, you know, God, you got to touch Korea. You got to touch Korea. And I was hearing nothing from the Father until I shifted and began to say, oh, I love you, my Koreans. I love you, my beautiful Korean people. I love you. And I began to shift the language. You can even notice when you begin to shift language, it's like they need a touch from God. God won't answer that. They puts distance there. Those folks have issues. Those government officials have issues. What does that do? That immediately puts a wall up there. You feel powerless. They're way up high there. You will never touch them. God will only give you someone that is in your heart. So prayer, Matthew 9, Jesus calls his disciples and he says, look, the harvest is ripe. The laborers of you, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. So he gets them praying. He begins to commission. Look, the harvest is right. Look, you got to look. You got to see. You got to look around. You got to see. God's got to break off an indifference in our heart. As I've grown up in the church where, of course, we've heard evangelism. We need to evangelize. It's our job to evangelize. But it hasn't created a sustainability. And I really feel like there's something. You know, I heard from one of my prophetic friends, a new friend from Canada, that we were chatting about some things. And he was saying, he was talking through with some things and with the Lord. And the Lord was telling him, you know, the prophetic church, the church that believes in the prophetic and has declared and has went after it, are the ones that have prophesied the massive amount of harvest that is now ready on the earth. But the prophetic church overall is not ready for the harvest because they have not become the answer to the harvest. And so other churches that are more seeker-sensitive and friendly and have a different way of approaching things are the ones that are actually going to harvest the harvest that the prophetic church prophesied in. Because the prophetic church is not willing to adapt and make the needed changes to become the answer, to become the arms and to become the heart. Listen, it's not sustainable. You know, it's good that we go out on the streets, and I've done that. You go on the streets, you do treasure hunts, all that. But the greatest sustainable harvest is the closer it is to home. When it's an act that we do, we can separate it out. I have done my evangelism on Saturday. We went out for 2 hours. I did my evangelism. Praise the Lord for that. That gets us activated, initiated. We need that. We need those times. It's the same thing as coming together for church in a corporate set of worship. It gets us activated in worship. But how many of you know that that is not going to sustain your life? What's going to sustain your life is your ability to connect to God when no one else is around. So it's all right that we gather together because the Bible says we need to. We come together and we remind ourselves of the important things. We remind ourselves of the apostolic teaching and of the worship and these things. But then it's like we've got to get down to living life. And I think God could give us a massive harvest simply if we begin to see people as family. If we took it down to a more simple level, one thing that I do and I like to do when I go places and I walk around is I know even today as I'm coming into here, I will pray until I can get my heart wrapped around you. Doesn't matter how many times I've been here because I know God, indifference, God resists. Indifference means I don't really care. This doesn't really care. They're not my heart. But how many know your blood, family, you're going to care about your whole life? Even if they hurt you, they're going to still be in your heart and it's going to hurt you that they don't want to be around you. It's going to hurt you that there's a disconnection. It's going to continually hurt you because they're in your heart and you're never going to be able to get them out, get rid of them. And it's never a full resolve until they're restored to you. Am I right? And if we can begin to pull people into our heart that same way and begin to see people as family, I know that when I shift from God touch them to God, these are mine, I bless them, I love them, because that's what Jesus had to do. Matthew chapter 9, pray the Lord of the harvest. You know, see that the harvest, you know, that you got to see first that there's a harvest need around you. Now pray from what you see. And then it says Jesus commissioned his, you know, disciples and sent them out two by two. Once you get a heart, then he commissions. Prayer is never supposed to end at prayer. If we are simply a praying church, but our heart does not move us then to become the answers to our prayer has not become effective. The effectual prayer of a right. There's something about you actually being a part of the answer. The purpose of prayer is for you to be a part of the answer to your prayer. God, you got to touch them. God, you got to touch them. Hello, hello, hello. Who's got the hands here? Keith, it's time for you to touch them. Touch them with the love of God. Have some care for them. So it's got to start at home first. It's got to start in close. So God restores, I believe, Malachi 4, a simple harvesting, a way that is effective is just getting God's heart for your own family, getting a heart. Malachi 4, you know, I want to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers, you know, the mothers to the daughters to the mothers, or else I'll bring a curse on the land. You know, the financial curse that is on the land is due to the lack of family. And when there begins to be a restoration of family, it connects with as your soul prospers. If you could put this together, when your family's not doing good and they're not away from the Lord, how many know your heart's not doing good? And how many know we've tried so long as a church to do all these big, wowish, important things that are out there, you know, save the world and lose your own soul. Lose your own family. Lose the things that are closest to you. And it's like the Lord was talking to me. He's like, Keith, just get your family. If you get your family, you're going to get a massive harvest. Because everything flows out of your heart. It starts from close within. So sometimes we have such priority on, I got to do this, I got to do that. Well, why don't you just take care of the 5 to 10 people that are in your closest circle first? Your marriage, your kids, your relatives, your parents. Honor your parents so that you'll live long. There will be a life-sustaining flow that comes out of you. I know this is simple, but what if we just brought evangelism down to seeing people like family? And we all know, let's just take care of one or two or three. Like, I got my neighbors. You know, it's like, maybe I can't reach the world. I mean, I don't work in the marketplace in this season. I travel around. I do this kind of thing. You know, I raise that prophet. So I don't have, but I have neighbors. And I have, all my neighbors are on my prayer list. So I pray for them. I try to get their name, the simple things that, hey, how you doing? You know, Nicholas, how you doing? Fred, how you doing? Gary, I know the neighbors around me. You know, and there's different times, and as I'm praying for them, it opens a door. Prayer will open up a door for God to bring a connection. I remember I was praying for, you know, the Lord was saying, Keith, I was praying one day, and can you come up? I was praying one day, and the Lord's like, not all the music going on in heaven is Western music. There's music up here from Bangladesh. And so I'm like, what, you know, where's Bangladesh, Lord? And, you know, and I was going through this whole thing, and I just started praying. I said, probably somewhere over in the Middle East. And I liked it when he brings a country on my heart or a city or something. I like to just pray until, just first before I study up on it, see how much can flow out prophetically. So I started prophesying over Bangladesh. And then I started researching on Bangladesh. And I like to pray until I get a heart for it. Because Jesus was moved with compassion, and then he healed. He was moved with compassion, then he raised the dead. He was moved with compassion. Everything flowed out of this place, so he would never allow an indifference. You know, he would say, look, the harvest. He's trying to get his disciples to begin to connect with them, to see them as family, to see them in heart. You know, it's easy to say, hey, we want those guys from that other country to get justice from what they did to our country. Or when someone hurts us, we put them out as a bad guy. But I never can have that in my heart when I realize that's somebody's kids. That's someone's son and daughter out there. Maybe they're coming against us. Maybe they're shooting up our troops. Maybe we're having a problem with. But I can't even allow into my heart movies that paint other countries as bad guys. Because I know I will not then have God's heart, because he's called us to disciple all nations. And it's like, how am I going to disciple a nation if I have a prejudice in my heart because I don't see them as family? I see them as somebody that's a bad guy out there. So I know a key to the harvest that God wants to give us is to make sure to protect my heart. So I was doing Bangladesh, and so, you know, by the end of the 2-hour time of prayer, I'm like, oh, I love you, Bangladesh, my people. Oh, Bangladesh, you're beautiful. You know, and it's like God was trying to kind of teach me a point. And so that night I got a Facebook message from a random person. And I said, yes, you know, Facebook friend now. And they sent me a message and they said, hello, we're from Bangladesh. Would you please come over to Bangladesh? We're going through this, this, and this. And it's like the Lord was just showing me that as soon as you get it in your heart, doesn't matter where it is in the world, he can connect, make the connection. It's that simple. And so I remember when I was in Korea and I was in an influential church, but I was having kind of a problem with the person. You know, sometimes we have prejudices, we don't realize it. You know, people's clothing or dress or where they talk or this or that reminds us of something that maybe we had a problem with or something that we came out of or something we don't understand, really. You know, and it's like, and I was just kind of, you know, being a little bit offended at the person's dress. It kind of reminded me of some stuff I came out of that I didn't like. And, you know, and I was, and you were, we were kind of in a debate over beliefs. And I don't like to be in debates, but it was happening. And I'm like, I don't like this. And so I went to my room that night, and the Lord started speaking to me. And he's like, you know, Keith, this is a promotion that I've given you to be in this church. And you're not seeing it as that. You're just irritated with so-and-so, and you need to get a heart for this person. This person is influential, you know, part of one of the largest churches in the world, and it's like, you need to get a heart for them. And so I shifted my heart and, you know, just began to, you kind of start getting a heart. You just make a choice that you're going to get a heart for someone. It doesn't necessarily feel like, you know, do you always feel like loving your family? Do you always feel like loving your spouse? Let's be real. Do you always feel like loving your kids when they're doing stupid stuff? Or your relatives or your parents that or whoever it is that's in your family, you know, that you would consider family. You know, friends can be in family. Friends are family we choose. You know, and so, but whoever's in that family place, that close place, you don't always feel like loving them. Sometimes it's the covenant that holds you together. It's not always the feeling. But I always like to go, oh, you know what, I know that I can choose to love, but I know that I have to get my heart connected to that eventually too, for it to be sustainable. So prayer sometimes unlocks that place. You start praying and blessing. And
hello, lovely. Hi. I just wanted to jump in on that. This prayer thing, it just seems like God's just kind of increasing our prayer for those around us in our immediate kind of circles of influence. But back in September, I started this new journey, and I've always walked kind of like had ministry in the church, but then also had kind of ministry in the marketplace as well. That's like kind of where my heart is just, it's like, I'm in this one for a while, and then if I'm not getting out here in this, then it's like the Lord kind of shifts me into that for a while. And so it's been back and forth. But in September, there's been a dream in my heart that I've had for over 20 years, and I wanted to go to cosmetology school and be a cosmetologist. And so long story short, I'm in school now and had been there for 4 months. And when I first went, I really had an awakening, this aha kind of a moment. And, you know, I've worked in retail and I've been around a lot of people and, you know, it's fast-paced environment and everything. But in the school environment, in the beauty industry, it's a whole nother level of worldliness. And it's like I had this moment of, okay, God, what in the world am I doing here? Like, I know what I'm here for because he's given me this assignment and I'm excited about it and I'm passionate about it. But I realized that we've been in the church. I have been in the church world for so long that I had really, there was this protective bubble around me in a sense that I wasn't necessarily letting anybody else into my circle. And I've been praying, and, you know, I pray for people, and I love people, and all of that. But yet, this bubble almost became a wall of protection to where, yes, I mean, it's good on one side, but on the other side of it is not good at all. And I'm doing a practice facial on one of my peers in my class. And I was just getting frustrated with, like, not knowing how to do it right and, like, trying to get everything to work together. And it's like I just wanted to be able to do it really well, and because I have a high level of excellence, standard of excellence. And I'm working on this new friend of mine, and I called my instructor over, and I said, Miss Anita, can you just help me? Like, I am really struggling figuring out how to do this right. And so I'm thinking about my client. I'm wanting to, like, give her a really good positive experience and just release the peace of heaven over her and all of that. And she's like, my teacher comes over and she says, Heather, she's like, before you're going to have any success in this, you're going to have to get rid of that bubble that's around you. And I was like, ouch. I'm like, okay, I didn't realize I had a bubble. Like, what do you mean bubble? And then I just asked the Holy Spirit, I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And I just had this moment of, here we are, giving our lives, serving the kingdom, loving on people. And sometimes we don't even realize we have guards up to people that aren't in the church. And it really wrecked me. Because here we're giving our lives, we're praying, we're believing. Like he said, we're the church that's prophesying in the harvest. But there's such a great divide between the church and those that don't know Jesus. And when I recognized that, it just broke my heart because God knows my heart. I love people, and I want people to know him because he is our greatest gift. But when my instructor, who's not a believer, came up to me and said, well, you've got to get rid of that bubble that's around you. This is my second day of school. Second. I'm not even there long enough for them to barely know my name. And she's like, you got a wall. Got to get rid of it. And so So I went home, and I was literally picking my jaw off the floor, like, every hour. I kid you not, for the first 2 weeks of school, like just overhearing conversations that were happening, and like I just lived in a bubble. And, you know, I'm really glad I lived in a bubble for some of those things. I'm like, I don't want to know that. I don't need to know that. La, 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 la. But on the flip side of it, God puts people in our lives for a reason. The people that you're rubbing elbows with at work every day or at school every day, they're in your life for a reason. And if you open your eyes and you ask Holy Spirit, God, what is it that you want me to give them today? He's going to show you. He's going to reveal it to you. And there's a reason. Trust me, there's a reason. So a month in, I'm having this conversation with the Lord. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how to break this wall down. Like, you've got to give me your heart for my peers and for my instructors. And I have already been praying into my city and praying for my community for years and asking the Lord to give me an opportunity to, like, get out there. Because we want, you know, we want people in the church. We want to fill up. But that divide has to be broken somehow. And how is it broken? It's through us. It's through connecting with God's heart for them and stepping into that place in intercession and letting Him show us His heart for them. And then praying it into being. So I started doing that. Keith was in another country. I think he was in Germany with Dano. And I woke up at like 4 a.m. and just was just having this encounter with Jesus as I was laying there. And I think I had texted Keith, and I couldn't sleep at first. And he was like, well, just talk to the Lord and see what He has to say. And as he's in Germany, I'm talking to him. And so I put my phone down and I just sat there and I just waited, and I just heard a song. And the song that I heard, it's Brian and Katie Torvald's song, Let There Be Light. And that just started ringing in my spirit. And so I turned it on my phone and I just started weeping. I just started weeping. My heart was just, it was just growing. I was like, God was expanding my heart. And I could literally feel just that bubble coming down, that shield that I had put around myself. You know, we're always praying a fiery hedge protection. Yes, absolutely. But in doing that, I had built this thing around my heart. It was like fear-based, because I didn't want the worldly stuff to touch me or touch my kids, or, you know. And there's good to that. Hear my heart. There's good to that. But yet, if we take it to the extreme and then we wrap ourselves so tightly that we're not allowing ourselves to let other people in, then what's the point? So I started asking myself, God, what is the point? What is the point? If we are the church walking around in our protective little bubbles and we're not letting anybody touch our hearts, or we're not able to touch it, we're not going to be able to touch their heart, and they can feel it, they recognize it, they see it. I'm listening to this song and I'm praying, and the Lord just starts showing me face by face by face these people in my class. And my heart was just bursting with love for them. And then when I went back to school, things shifted. I could feel it. Something happened. Because at first, they were making little comments to me, like, oh, there's Heather, she's the perfect one. And, I mean, I'm older, and I wasn't even doing anything. I was just doing my stuff and getting my stuff done, and I get it done on time, and, you know. When favor's on you, and it brings you to the top, and people see it. But in that environment, jealousy was, woo, rising up really quickly, and it's like, it's in your face. And so God just started, every day, I want you to pray for this person. Not with them yet. Pray with them. Say this. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving my heart. He started showing me different things about the different people in my environment. And my heart just started breaking because we don't know what people are walking through. We don't know what people are going through. All of us have lived our lives. We've lived our journey, and all of us have had really hard things that hit us, you know, and we've had amazing victories as well. But so have they, you know? Like Keith was saying, when we put it into us and them, it's like we create that separation. We create that wall of division. So we, all of us, have walked through life. We've had those things. So he started showing me this one young lady who is the one that's always like really, really sassy to me. And he's like, I want you to go over to her next time she says that. And I just want you to get in her face and just look straight in her eyes. And when she's sassing you, I want you to just love on her back. Like that's when you have permission to love on her now because I've given you my heart for her. I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. So she's sassing me. And so I'm like, okay, I can sass back. No problem. Just sass back and love on her and looking her in the eyes. And I said, so-and-so. I'm like, don't give me that. You know you love me. And she just kind of looked down. And she like smiled at me. I was like, I can see right through you. I was like, you've got a really big heart in there. And you actually have a really big, huge heart of compassion, and you love really well. And she just, tears just started streaming down her face. And then before break, time went on, you know, other things happened. Before we went on break for Christmas, she's the one girl that came up to me, made it a point to come up to me to my station. She wrapped her arms around me and held me. It was probably close to a minute. You know, after 10 seconds, a hug can feel a little, like, awkward. I'm used to hugging, so it's not so bad for me. But for most people, 10 seconds is a long hug, and they're like, bye. Gotta get out of my personal space bubble. Bubble. She held on so tight, and I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, this is your time to love on her back. Let her have it. And so I did, and it was awesome. And so I just want to encourage you. Let's 2017, let's get rid of those bubbles that are around us that we've created, you know, through prayer, but through fear, really, of not letting, wanting to let everything else in. We've got to be able to get out of that so that, and to know when to get out of that so that we can really shine bright and be that loving person that God really wants to be through us. If we really want to be his hands extended, then we need to be his hands extended. That's how we're going to see a harvest. That's how we're going to see these chairs filled. That's how we're going to see people on the streets coming into God encounters this year. It's because they see the shell's gone and they can see the light shining bright. And that's probably what we all want. You know, we don't want to just do church and just do life. That's not why we're here. And if it is, then we need to think about it. We need to let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is my assignment for right now? Because assignments change. Because you can be walking this way, and then all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's like, turn left. And if we're like in our little bubble, we're just going to keep on going right, you know? So it's like really being aware and moving with the wind of the Holy Spirit, saying, okay, Holy Spirit, which way do you want to go today? Sometimes it's daily, sometimes it's weekly, sometimes yearly. It doesn't matter. It's just walking in step with him. So that's what I have.
This song.
Ooh, ooh, doo, doo.
I was recently with just some folks that were carrying some revival, and I'd gotten this picture about one of these revivalists with a champagne glass. And so I just said, hey, see a picture with you with a champagne glass. Does this mean anything to you? And I wasn't sure, you know, sometimes it's spiritual, and but I wasn't really getting the interpretation. You know, I could have prophesied something off of that. And but I just asked them, I said, you know, do you have anything about this? And they're like, I've never drunken, you know, any alcohol my entire life. And I just kind of picked up a little bit of the spirit behind it. And, you know, they're doing great things, but I'm like, you know, I kind of decided to speak to it, you know, kind of decide if you're going to or not, you know. I'm like, I'm going to go for it. I'm like, you know what, God actually spoke to me and said, I want a move of God in California because I want to model a move of God that doesn't have the influences of the Bible Belt. And if I could, I honor that Bible Belt and everything, but there's sometimes we sneak in little things into our evangelism in our heart to reach folks, such as I don't drink ever, as that is the standard. And of course, I honor those that can't drink. Some people can't drink because they had an alcoholic background or they have addiction or they just don't want to. It's not about drinking or not drinking. I don't, you know, ever make a point either way. But my main point is that we don't sneak in a little bit of the religiosity. And it kind of went on a journey in my own heart. It's like, as I've been getting around my neighbors and we'll go to the, you know, to the sports bar together to watch a football game, and I'll, you know, and he'll order a beer and I'll be, you know, he kind of look at me, and it's just not an issue in his world. Zero issue. There is not, in my world, you were definitely going to hell if you drank growing up. It was definitely, boom, way down there. Now, I'm not in that place anymore, but you can still feel that it's not, I don't think like he thinks. I still have to go through this methodical kind of process in my brain of, well, I'm free. It's not about eating or drinking. The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but it's still there. And sometimes we put it out there and it puts a little bit of, that's why they don't want to be in the family. Now, some people, they preach wine, and I don't believe in that either. I don't believe that the gospel is about for or against. I believe the gospel is about us having a relationship with Holy Spirit within the boundaries that he has established, but we're all listening. There's certain movies that you can watch that I can't watch. Certain movies we all shouldn't watch. You know, there's those kind of things, but it's like the Lord was just taking me this journey. He's like, Keith, you're called to reach influencers. And I just put it in my, you need to be done with the alcohol issue. You need to be absolutely done. It just needs to not make an issue at all for you. Because I'm around people all the time, and it's just a part of their culture, or it's a part of their life. And it's like, if we're going to reach the harvest, sometimes we are so distinctly different. We have that bubble that Heather talks about. We are so different that there's no crossover. There's really hard for them to come into our world. Our prophetic world, it's hard enough to come into. They don't understand tongues. They don't understand prophecy. I'm an ecstatic prophet, man. Holy Spirit's on me. My head's shaking. I'm, Shonai, Holy Ghost. You know, and I love that. But it's like, that's kind of a tough crossover for a lot of folks that have no grid for that. And it's not about compromising to that, but I'm just like, if it's real, let it out in front of them. Let the joy out in front. Be fun. Have the blast and reach them like you would reach your family. You know, love them like you would love your family. See them. You don't have to reach the whole world, but love someone like a family. Just pick someone and just start bringing them into your family, into your heart. And just let go of that religiosity, those standards that Jesus, you know, it's like, Jesus, you know, didn't even have. This is a quiet bunch this morning, but I believe you're really taking this in. I believe this is good. I don't want to just be the prophetic church that misses out on the harvest and is all upset because those churches are just getting it all. Because they were able, you know, we need to be able to adapt without compromising. And sometimes when I'm around New Age folks, I adapt my language without problem. And it makes them crazy. It just makes them crazy because I'll be reading their mail, you know, I'll be going after something in their heart. And they're trying to figure out, am I New Age? Am I what? And I'm not telling them I'm a Christian yet because they're not ready for it.
But they're getting rocked and they're crying and they're having this, they're like, stuff is being revealed. And that's the prophetic, being able to be adapted without compromise into their world. Aren't you ready for some adventure? Aren't you just bored with the normal? Get around a bunch of sinners, man. They just let it all out and they're messy. And they do that. It's like, you know, I got a big police officer neighbor, and it's like, you know, he just starts one day pouring out his heart to me about some stuff he's going through. And then he reaches in and he comes in for a big hug. I mean, he's like 300 pounds and a big police officer. And I wasn't ready for it. I mean, I gave it to him. I'm a hug. Because we have built those. This is in the church. We do this. But over here, and we don't realize, we keep them separate. God's got you in this crossover building so you can get a mindset of the crossover that's needed. I just see the Lord giving you an invitation this year to come into a different way, come up higher, to come into partnerships with people that you would not come into partnerships. It's not about sin issues. This is just about loving connections and understanding. I just see this baton being offered to you. It's going to be refreshing, and God's going to just take you on this journey as you're just like, I don't know how to do this, Lord, and I feel a little bit blind in this. And he's like, yeah, isn't it been a long time since you've trusted me to this level? He's just welcoming you. He's saying, there is a harvest. Come on over to the other side. Come on over to the other side. Come on over to the other side. There's a bunch of folks that need freedom. They need the freedom that you've got. They need the freedom that you've got. They need the freedom that you've got. They need the freedom that you've carried. You fought for. You've carried. You fought for. It's not about compromising. It's about seeing those. Look around and see all those that I love, that are on my heart. I love the world. Come into the love. Come into the love. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart and then be my hands extended. Come in and get my heart. Come in and get my heart. Let go of those things that make you a Christian. Let go of those things that make you superior. Let go of that pride. Humble yourself. Get down to the real. Isn't this church called grace? Isn't this church called grace? It's by grace that you've been saved. It's not by your standard of purity. It's not by your standard of things you do and don't do and how you dress and what you say and what you don't say. Come into true grace, because true grace leads to repentance. True grace does not teach the world to be in sin. It teaches them to walk out of sin. I'd have called you to be a releaser of true grace. Someone that carries a graciousness. Someone that is kind. Someone that has time. Someone that has time for the one. Right now, oh, just think of one as we close. Just think of one. Who is a one that's nearby, who's a neighbor, who's a family that you can pull in? And I'm releasing the spirit of prophecy. I'm releasing the spirit of Elijah to restore family, to pull them into family. Right now, let's just get a little prayer on our lips. Just put that person's name on our lips. Oh, I put Fred on my lips. You are mine. You are mine. You belong to me. You are in my family. Make them yours. You are one that I love. You're not a distant neighbor. You're not someone that I just tolerate. You're someone that I celebrate. And I choose to love you, pull you in, all the hurts you've been through. I see the hurts that you've been through. And you need to know that there's a way. And I've got the answer for you. I've got the answer. And I love you just where you are. And I love you for who you are. Just put them on your heart and just love them for a moment in your spirit. I love you for who you are. And forgive me, Lord, for being aloof. Forgive me, Lord, for the bubbles. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking I'm above it. I have a better standard than those worldly people. Forgive me, Lord, for my pride, oh God, that's kept me away from the harvest, Lord. Oh, forgive us for being afraid that we would be tainted by the world, because we've got the pure one inside, the Holy Spirit inside, leading us into all righteousness. We don't have to fear. You did not give us a spirit of fear. We're not going to go over to the dark side, because light expels the darkness. Light, let your light shine this year. Let your light shine this year. They may know that you are Christians by your love, by your ooey gooey lovey dovey 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 dove, love, love, love. Mushy love, mushy love, let it be released in Santa Rosa. Let the ones, whoever's facilitating, come. The spirit of evangelism on Philip. The fire on him. The fire on him, Lord. The fire this year. Strategies for evangelism. Strategies for kingdom harvest. Strategies for the power and the boldness and coming out of hiding. The horses released from the stalls. Be released into the race. The power. Be released. The power of the gospel.
Come on.
That compassion that releases power. Be released in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen.